Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Race the rudder. Raise the sails. Raise the sails.
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Jordan Love's performance, how would you rate it?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And a beautiful play fake by Jordan Love.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Love takes, looks, throws, slant, right side, touchdown!
Today's guests, Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor Michael Chiklis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. One game already into week two of the NFL campaign. College football beckons all of us, along with a full in bulk Sunday schedule of the NFL over the weekend. Getting you ready for all of that, reviewing what we saw on Thursday Night Football. We say hello to everybody out there streaming us live on Disney Plus and ESPN, the app available everywhere. And also saying hello to everybody listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 80 and, of course, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We say hello to our newest affiliate down there in Houston, Texas,
hey.
97.5 and 92.5 FM. And just me being a Yankee fan, proving George Costanza is wrong, that a Yankee can be sent to Houston. So
well,
we're happy.
Say it the right way.
I'm cleaning it up for
okay,
the audience.
Okay.
And we're trying to make a good first impression, Christopher.
I understand.
Cam Hayward beckons on our rundown. Tom Pelissero to give us all the information that we require. And then Michael Chiklis will be in studio in hour number three. He's in a new film called The Senior, available nationwide next Friday, September 19th. And guess what? He plays a 59-year-old college football player based on a true story. So it's great when Michael Chiklis joins us, and I'm on pins and needles because the last time he was here, he brought his pug with him because his pug is named Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
So it's going to be great. I hope he brings the dog. It's so much fun.
Did you put in the request?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I said, are you... please bring TB12, and he wrote, I'll let you know. And I'm like, I meant the dog, and he wrote back, I know what you meant. So that's hour three. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
Hey,
how are you?
But I'm Rich. I'm feeling great.
Jason
how are you?
Feller, Jay Felly.
Hey,
good to see
what's
you.
Up, Rich?
You got your feet up, ready for your Raiders to play the final Raiders. Game of the week, the Chargers
I'm
and the
excited.
Raiders. The final game of a Monday night doubleheader on the ESPN family of networks. Candles not lit. What's going on? John Wick 5? What's happening?
I
when are you going to light
candles,
candles?
Clearly.
Okay.
But give a shout out to Houston.
Good, yeah, there you go.
Not from Houston, but I rap a lot.
Fantastic. Good to see everybody where they are.
Let's get
into
today,
it.
Rich?
I'm great. Thank you.
Let's go.
I'm great, but not as great as the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh.
Two games into the season. And I'll call it the way I'm seeing it. The Green Bay Packers look like the best team in football. And that's what they look like. I'll be honest. They play in every phase. I know McManus, every single time he gets up there, I think of the usual suspects. And they play lights out defense. And their offense is being run by
a quarterback who's a kid no more. They've got wide receivers that probably aren't on your fantasy team for days. And now they got, you know, Rob Gronkowski and or Kittle in Wisconsin,
right?
And Tucker Kraft. And maybe he was the main weapon. Josh Jacobs keeps scoring touchdowns. He now has a rushing touchdown in 11 straight games, tying Jonathan Taylor and Priest Holmes for the second most all time. Should he, Josh Jacobs, crease the end zone in Cleveland in week 3, he would tie LaDainian Tomlinson for the most such consecutive games since 2000, including the playoffs. Those are the active streaks we're talking about. And so they run it effectively, they throw it effectively, and boy, do they play defense. And they have now taken out the division winner in their own division last year in week 1, and the team that eliminated them, and then the aforementioned division winner in last year's season in the Lions, the Commanders, took care of business by taking out the Packers and then took out the Lions. And the Packers, in the first 5 days of this season, first 2 weeks of this campaign, took them both out and made them look pedestrian in the process, made them look mediocre in the process, left the Lions to go back to Detroit wondering if they've lost their two coordinators and thus their mojo. And now with the Commanders, you know, it's amazing that we're talking about it this way, but making the Commanders look like the oldest roster in the league. And it is, again, Jordan Love in a quarterback-driven league. Jordan Love with the performance on Wednesday night, getting this team to 2-0, and in so doing, took care of business to a considerable tune with his 14th career start with two or more passing touchdowns and no interceptions, only in the first 35 career starts out of active players. Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy have had more. And when you look at his numbers now, similar to Aaron Rodgers through his first 35 career starts.
That's funny.
He's 20-15 through his first 35 career starts. Rodgers was 19-16. His passing completion percentage, Rodgers through his first 35 career starts, 64.6. Love is 63.6. The yards per attempt, Rodgers 7.8, Love 7.5. Passing touchdowns to interceptions, Rodgers 23 touchdowns to 23, 63 touchdowns to 23 interceptions, Love 62 touchdowns to 23 interceptions. The passer rating of Rodgers of 98.1, Love 96.6. I mean, right there. And what did Rodgers do when he was 27 years old? Won his championship in Green Bay. Love turns 27 in November. As the Packers have started 2-0 for the first time since 2020, when they made the NFC Championship game and got bounced by Tom Brady and the Bucs. And Tom Brady's not walking through that door except to call their games, which I imagine he will be calling a bunch of because the Packers look like the best team in football and Fox has the NFC package and will be no doubt showing a ton of Packer games because, again, I just gave you Love's excellence, but the defense is balling out. This was the head coach about his defense after the game last night.
Relentless. Just physical, aggressive, attacking. The play style is exactly what we want from these guys. And it always starts with the energy and effort. That's gonna get you through and can overcome for some of the mistakes. So I just thought, I think our front is extremely disruptive. Getting after the quarterback. It didn't seem like they ran the ball very effectively at all either. So, I think half's done a hell of a job. I think our players are doing a great job feeding off one another. And it's definitely exciting to watch our defense go out there and perform because I think they allow us to get up on somebody.
Half being Jeff Hafley, the coordinator he brought from college football, and He's coordinated it up. I mean, after holding the Lions to the fewest yards per play in a game in 4 years, and Jared Goff throwing his first red zone interception in 3 years, and holding the Lions to their fewest rush yards in a game in 2 years, they go ahead and snuff out Jaden Daniels, who and the Commanders with just 18 points. It's tied for the fewest points scored in any of Jaden Daniels' 22 career starts. While also in all of Jaden Daniels' 22 career starts, this was the fewest total yards, yards per play, rush yards, and first downs. That's what they did. And again, we're talking about the Commanders having the oldest roster in the league, and boy, do they look old. And they have maybe the best young quarterback in the league in the unicorn.
Right.
That's what the defense did. That's what the Packers are up to, and major, major reasons why are all over the place I've given y'all. But the thing that makes them feel that much more special is because they field
Macca.
Micah Parsons.
Jeez.
Dude,
I don't want to talk
29 snaps is what he played 5 days ago, and they got him up to 44 last night. And in his 44 snaps, he led the team in 8 quarterback pressures. 8. Okay? He played 2/3 of the snaps on Thursday night and just dominated.
Yeah.
He was everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was funny. That was what happened because Coop went out to dinner, came back in. We're watching the fourth quarter, and the Packers are on defense. And he says, "Where's Micah Parsons?" And I responded, "Everywhere."
What was that movie? Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah, or Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, that was Micah last
time. And like that movie, Micah is award-winning.
Yeah. Well, he's now the betting favorite for Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, I mean, because he's hardly played, you know, 29 snaps, 44 snaps they did in 5 days. And he's ready to play more. I mean, he sounded upset about playing on a snap count. I do believe we have that soundbite from Micah Parsons, if I'm not mistaken, after the game, after he hung out with the Amazon Prime Video postgame.
Yeah, that was fun.
Had this to say.
Man, I just hope I'm a full go. Honestly, it's pissing me off. I tell them there's more worse than good. I get tight and stuff. Like, hopefully they just let me off, man. They can't hold a dog back forever, man.
Well, 10 days from now, 10 days from now is when he'll be out there again and on the same field as Myles Garrett. And you know he wants to start proving a little bit more. And again, it's a team effort. I understand Rashawn Gary had a sack. Van Ness looks like he's found himself. The rest of the team, boy, that back end of the defense was shutting things down. Daniels had nowhere to find anybody. And they were rushing four and keeping him in the pocket and didn't let him out to run the football. As a matter of fact, his 17 rush yards, second fewest rush yards in a game in his career. Yeah, and this is what the Packers defense is doing right now. And, you know, who is the one who's soundbite are we throwing to right now? Mike Hoskins, if you don't mind me pointing him. Okay, Sean Nixon. He was very direct as to
yes,
as to why things are working for the Packers defense now in a way that we didn't see last year and previous years.
Is there a different swagger or excitement with the defense? Is there that you feel when you're on the team or on the defense?
Swagger? Didn't last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Micah Parsons.
Okay. There you go. It's as plain as day. I am directing TJ, my comments so at you, TJ, because I'm telling you, I told you earlier in the week the way this is going to work. It's every Packer game. Mm-hmm. Through week four, when they play the Cowboys, then pages will be turned, okay? Pages will be turned until the end of the year. And if the Packers go on this run that a lot of people are seeing for them, rightfully so, through 5 days, I don't believe this is an overreaction, that they can go deep based on what we've seen, what they've done to two of the best playoff teams from last year, or at least regular season teams going into the playoffs, and one of the best playoff teams from last year, Final Four team last year.
Yeah.
They beat last night and it handily. It's going to then return that Micah was the missing piece, ingredient, accelerant on the flame that was already burning in Green Bay. And I tweeted out last night, evergreen tweet, I can't believe the Cowboys traded Micah Parsons. How do you do such a thing? With all due respect to Kenny Clark, you cannot dominate a game from his position unless you're as good as Aaron or Donald or Miles. Dexter Lawrence or Miles Garrett when he wants to line up in there. How do you do that? And how do you keep him? How do you send him in conference? How do you send him to a hated non-divisional rival? How do you do such a thing just because you couldn't figure something out? And you could see him, he's inflamed by it. He's outraged by it. You saw him dapping up his teammates, doing the leadership thing the Cowboys were trying to get from him. And I guess, I don't know, if he was an immature guy in Dallas, this whole business over business is personal crucible that he just went through over the last few months might have aged him up. And now he's a grown-ass man. We'll see how it goes. We'll see when he starts podcasting, what he says, what he does. I don't know. Am I great against his teammates? Or I have no idea. But right now, the Packers look like the best team in football. And for good reason. They're doing it in every phase. And they're doing it to teams that were terrific last year. We're assuming we'll be good this year. We might look back on weeks 1 and 2 and say, well, those weren't all that impressive based on the way that they've come out of the game. But I think we can all assume in terms of rosters, the Lions and the Commanders are in the top third of the league, and they played with them like a cat does with a ball and catnip. I mean, they just toyed with them. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll talk about the Commanders later on this program. It's a What's More Likely Friday, my top five list of other games that I'm looking forward to seeing in week number 2. Tom Pelissero with information, you with phone calls at 844-204-RICH, and Michael Chiklis with a movie clip and maybe his dog.
What's more likely?
I don't know what's more likely. A movie clip.
Yeah, movie clip.
Because he didn't jump at the opportunity to bring his dog.
No, it seemed like he was like,
I know. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this busy Friday on Disney Plus, ESPN Everywhere, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cameron Hayward coming up. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
It's one of our favorites. He's joining us now, fresh off a big-time Week 1 win. Year 15 for this guy. One of the best in the business, Cameron Hayward of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How you doing, Cam?
I'm great. I'm glad I get to be on your show. Now you're just doing big things now.
You know what, Cam? We're just only no one speed around here. You know what I mean? I just want to match you in longevity and excellence and all that good stuff. But it's good to see
you. Sir, you have the longevity. Don't ever take that away.
Okay, that's true. That's true. I guess I'm you're the OG. I'm just old.
You're the senior, as they would put it.
Ah, okay. That's a little offensive, but I understand. It's good to see you, man. Okay.
Great to see you.
So are you happy Rodgers took his time? Because it kind of worked out. You know what I mean? Like, kind of worked out for you right now, Cam. Game one.
Hey, a little reverse psychology there. Kind of poked the bear, and then he found his way to the Steelers.
Oh my gosh! I mean, that's what you're talking about, right? Four touchdown passes, using whatever chip he had on his shoulder to his and your advantage, and off you go. What was that like from your perspective, Cam?
Man, it was like watching a conductor compose, or a composer compose an offense, or you know, an orchestra, and it was just amazing. Like, he would communicate, he would get guys lined up. But the thing I was hearing from the offense was he was never rattled. And when you have a guy who's very seasoned and has been doing it a long time, he's gonna make everybody, you know, he's going to show out and make sure everybody shows out with him.
And how does that permeate a team and a sideline in a game throughout a week?
I think it just allows you to, you know, keep battling on defense. I know we didn't have our best game, but to have an offense that was just even keel and, you know, match points for points, sometimes get us a lead, you know, and then keep battling back throughout the entire game. We just knew we had to get stops late. And when you do that, and have that confidence in your offense, that just makes you a complete team. And, you know, in this game, it's not always going to be the defense dominating. It's not always going to be the offense dominating. It's a mixture of both and having each other's backs in those moments.
And what can you tell us inside here, Cam, that about narratives, man? You have a podcast of your own. You've been in the league for a decade and a half. That Rodgers doesn't work well with others, that it's his way or other. I know you just furrowed your brow, but listen, honestly, that he needs it to be his way alone. And now he's joined a Steelers system that looks like he's very comfortable in. So what do you say to anybody that says, well, it's just a matter of time till it's the other way around? What do you say about that?
You know, you look at his way and it's the Steeler way. It's about being accountable. It's about doing things on and off the field that prepares you for the game. If you can't roll with that, you shouldn't be on the field. I think I've really enjoyed watching him, the way he prepares, the way he challenges guys, and then he challenges himself. There's no lack of accountability there. And so when you look at that side of the ball, having that all the way through, I can respect that. Every one of our teammates can respect that. And it breeds competition. It breeds getting better. And it breeds a better team.
Cam Hayward here on the Rich Eisen Show. You referenced it yourself about not the defense's best day. What can you tell Steeler fans about that day and how you're coming out of that day?
Hopefully it's a hiccup. We can move past it. You know, I think as a defense, we're just raring to get back on the field. A lot to answer for, but hey, I'd rather have a win last week and be able to talk about our problems than have a loss and just, you know, say we played okay. So more ball we played. We got 17 games. We've already played one, so we're at 16. So there's more room to, you know, let our work speak for itself.
And Jalen Ramsey was lowering booms, man. He was hitting people, and it caused a little bit of a moment, to say the least. But what is
that? I think it was the best moment. You know, the end of the half, he gets chippy, and I think it kind of galvanized the defense a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we love when we're chippy, and sometimes you need to just, you know, break it open a little bit. And after that, I felt like we played a lot of better ball in the second half. And then I just love football in its poetic ways that led to Jalen Ramsey making a game-winning tackle that, you know, dislodged the ball out of Garrett Wilson's hands.
And again, you know, I learned from my guy Sapp all those years on Game Day Morning, front and back end of the defense must play together. And it's all one big organism on defense. What did you get out of game one from that with Jalen Ramsey now policing back there with the rest of the crew, Cam?
I think, you know, you can't just pass the ball quick and think it's an easy, you know, way to get some yards. You know, whether it's you take your time and we get a chance to rush, or, you know, Jalen or Slay making some big plays. You know, one play that's not talked about enough, Darius Slay, I think it was on the 2-point conversion, he came off of his coverage and knocked it out of bounds, saved 2 points on the board. So you look at our score, we went 34-32. That's one of those big moments we don't talk about enough, but having guys like that on the back end that you know, help our front end is going to go a long way in the future.
And then one last one on game, week one. What was it like in the locker room afterwards for that one?
It was special, you know, because it wasn't a perfect game, especially on defense. But having a kicker who kicks a 60-yarder to win it, that's special. Having an offense continue to just go through a shootout and put up points. And then a defense that made plays late. You know, we appreciate these moments because they're far from few. And when you have guys that do it in different ways and are able to bounce each other out and overcome bad mistakes, that makes for a great win.
Cam Hayward here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of a week one victory, prior to which you worked something out with the Steelers on a contract. I know that you were looking for one, and I know it's year 15. You know it's a business. Are you copacetic here? Are you're page turned? You're happy? What do you term yourself right now?
Page is turned. Okay. You know, I'm glad I can put this to bed a little bit. The opportunity is there to earn some more money, but I got to play my game. I got to be, you know, at the top of my game, and I like it that way. And anyone who has a problem with that, and you don't have a problem with me getting more sacks and making it to the playoff, that's a problem. So I'm looking forward to hitting those incentives.
Well, I mean, can you give voice to I think you kind of just alluded to that right there, is how it's viewed by fans outside looking in for some people. How money equals respect, certainly for somebody who's done it for as long as you. Do you want to give voice to that concept?
Yeah.
That after we saw Micah balling out last night for Green Bay again in just two games, and what he was standing firm in his beliefs and things like that, contractual situations, Cam?
Yeah, just, you know, we have a limited time to do it. And when you're at the top of your game and you're you know, you're respected around the league, you want to be respected by your franchise. And looking at the Micah situation, you know, I think everybody's kicking themselves that they couldn't come to an agreement, because that dude has been balling since he's gotten to Green Bay. And, you know, it's going to make a lot of people scratch their heads like, dang, we couldn't just get this done earlier. And, you know, I'm happy to say I'm still a one helmet guy. And, you know, I have the benefit of working with an organization that, you know, takes care of their players.
And then, you know, what did you think of, you want to put your podcaster's hat on, Micah, and what he adds to Green Bay? Because I'm sure, you know, you're keeping an eye on that game. You're going to see Green Bay, and obviously that is going to be a massive game for your quarterback that makes whatever chip he may have had on his shoulder in MetLife look like a very, very, very small pebble. So what do you see when you're looking at the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night and Micah's addition to that defense, Cam?
Well, first, I have to make sure I get Aaron booked for that week. So going into the podcast, I can show that.
Very good. I mean, McAfee might elbow you out of the way. You know what I mean, Cam? I mean, you might be in the second position there. You never know. But, hey.
I don't know. I might have to beat you to it.
Okay. Very good. No, you got McAfee there standing there, too. But all good, man. So you have the floor. Go for it.
Yeah. You know, I just think when you look at Green Bay, they are a sound football team. You know, they got wide receivers for days. You have the matchup Aaron Rodgers versus Love. And so that's going to be a duel there. But, man, I'm going to have my questions ready for that podcast. You know, I'm going to make sure Aaron's well in tuned and ready to talk a lot of stuff.
I bet. And what'd you think of when you heard Jerry say, you know, Micah, it's great. We loved having him, but we needed to stop the run. What did you, as somebody who can stop the run on the way to the quarterback, think of something like that, Cam?
I love Kenny Clark, and I think he's going to be a big value to their team. But the one thing I worry about, you say you got to stop the run. Did they stop the run? So that's my only concern with that. You know, you can. I wouldn't just say Micah Parsons is the reason we couldn't stop the run. So. If you think a trade is going to do that, I think that's a little incomplete.
Do you talk to DK Metcalf this week about his reunion? Is that something that you go up, you address, you don't, you just know? What about that, Cam?
Oh, you know, DK is raring at the bit. He already told me he's got like 20 tickets for this game. So he's got his people coming. He was a little booked this week, so I'm planning on having him on next week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure my guest booker gets on top of that. But
somebody just got pointed out. Okay. All right. I got it. Hey, and sometimes it's better to have the guest on after to react to what happened than just a preview. You know
my
what I mean?
Guy.
You
know talking I mean? The game. I love it.
Yeah, it's not my first rodeo. But do you say something to DK? Does he wear it on his sleeve at all this week? It goes unsaid. What is it like around his parts for this week?
It doesn't
week?
Go unsaid, but the way DK works, you don't have to worry about that. You know, he is very relentless when he steps on the field. And the way he prepares, he's added a lot to our wide receiver group of how to work. I put him in that same category of like an Antonio Brown where they would work relentlessly and you'd be like, man, does this dude ever get tired? So he's just chomping at the bit. But, you know, we want to make sure we play the petty ball. And so we want to make sure we reward our guy.
And how's Derek Harmon doing? Not to turn you into an information individual in the NFL, but obviously this is a rookie that was drafted to be right there with you on the line.
Yeah.
And he got hurt in the preseason. Is he close to coming back? You going to get him soon?
We'll see. I am not a doctor, so I cannot I cannot say for sure, but I'm excited about his future. You know, as a kid that I think is going to have a really successful career. He works extremely hard. He plays with good pad level. He's strong. And, you know, he wants to be great. And so when you have a kid like that, you want to make sure you give him every opportunity. And I keep telling him, once you get on that field, it's going to happen. So once he's healthy, he'll be out there and he'll be able to ball.
Okay. So I guess the end of November, your guests on your pod, Jack Sawyer, Will Howard. You gonna have those guys? Who else are you gonna have?
Would you, or should we get you back?
Oh, please, please.
That might be fun to talk about.
Do you really want a piece of me that week, Cam?
Hey, man, we just want a pound of flesh. That's all we want.
Well, I mean, it's been a while. You did personally hang on the same field and try to stop the last quarterback wide receiver combination to beat Michigan. You saw them first right there in front of you in week one. And that was 2019.
Well, I did mess with Jack, though. I told Jack, I said, you know, we come from the same cloth, but I never had someone plant a flag on my field. So,
yeah, I know. But I saw him on your pod, Cam. I saw him on your pod talking about some play that they'd never run, and it's really
oh, yeah. Connor Stallions got offended by that, too. That was hilarious.
By the way, he could go away and I would never miss anything about him. Okay. But I'm like, I didn't understand though. Maybe you can help me here. So Jack's saying we had never run that play before and they stopped it because we never run it on the, you know, was he saying they'd never run the play before or just not in that part of the field at that down and distance before? And it was really odd that Michigan was able to stop a play that they had never run before. And I'm like wondering if this was all about shooting someone's sidelines and get the signals to match up with the film of a play that was put on film. How would we have been able to stop a play that they'd never run before? I don't understand. That didn't compute,
I think it's a combination of that and then the fact that there was a check to that play.
Okay.
And so,
but a play they've never run before.
If a play's never run before and you have a check for it, that's interesting.
But they'd never run it before. So why would there be a check for something they hadn't seen or hadn't hired somebody to sit in a seat to shoot someone else's sideline to correspond with that play, the hand signal, so you'd know what to check to? I don't understand.
I know is you should have been on the documentary for Netflix when they were exploring Connor Stallion's point of view.
Oh my God. I'm happy to push back on any point of view on this front, Cam. You know, so I'm happy to come on. How about you bring Jack on and I'll be there too? You know what I mean? Like,
let's
do this sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm all for stoking
right
fire.
Right now I'm wearing the color pants he doesn't have. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I've got on right now. Because those are tight pants. Well, it's as gold pants as I've got. You know, so I'm just pointing this stuff out. But, okay. I always love chatting with you, Cam. I always love chatting with you.
I love you too, buddy.
Hey, buddy, congrats on year 15. You're feeling good? Like,
feeling great.
Cold tubs? You're good? We're good? Coming out of...
We got to do a cold tub together. How about that?
Oh, whoa.
You know, this is an offline conversation. But say hi to everybody out there for me in Steeler country. Good to see.
I will.
I wish I had that game in Ireland, man. But it's gonna be Joe Davis and Greg Olson for the Fox crew on NFL Network. I'll be there. Mm-hmm. I'll be there as a studio holder in Los Angeles. That's gonna be great. That scene's gonna be awesome. I know that's down the road, and you got one at a time right now. But enjoy that, and we'll chat down the line.
Sounds good. I'll take pictures for you.
Please do. I'd love it. Send it to us. Cam Hayward, everybody, fresh off of a 1-0 start in New Jersey, getting ready for the Seattle Seahawks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There goes Cam.
All right.
There goes Cam. Hopefully he'll be able to focus against Seattle after the results of Saturday's Buckeyes game against Ohio. Hopefully Grambling didn't take a lot out of him.
I mean, are we slagging on the schedule? It's week two.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hopefully they'll fight through it. Well, but hey, we're taking on Central Michigan at home. And we'll see if Connor Stallions is dressed up on their sidelines like back in the day. See, I'm taking a shot at myself.
You think they'll let him come up for the coin toss?
Dude, I never want to see him again. Ever.
Too bad. You're wearing that forever.
Yeah. You guys have a lot in common. You're both Michigan men.
Oh, is that right? Very good. Let's take a break. Let's take a break. We've got, you know how we keep talking about the scale of pettiness?
Yeah, you and Ohio State belongs on this
scale. That's true. we could put that on the scale of petty. On the petty scale. There is a game that few people are talking about on the week two schedule that is going up the petty scale chart that we're about to unveil. Finally, we keep talking about it. We finally made a chart of where things stand on a scale of pettiness.
Nice.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a Friday.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
For our radio audience back on ESPN Radio, we just showed a Ken Tulo special of the Ball Brotherhood video from back in our DirecTV days, right? That's how far that was.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program.
A lot of ball guys.
This is a game that a lot of people have not been talking about, and it's a nasty rivalry. It's the Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. And part of the reason why it's nasty, I think we all know. 30 years ago, the Ravens came into being after 30-plus years ago. They used to be the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Art Modell moves the team to Cleveland and tells the Browns, you keep the records, we're just starting from scratch. But we're no longer in Cleveland, Ohio anymore. And the Ravens are celebrating their 30th anniversary in Baltimore. And they're doing it Sunday. And guess who their opponent is?
Who could it be?
The Cleveland Browns.
Hey.
Now then, we have a scale on this program that we've been talking about that we now have graphic support for. It's the petty scale.
Yeah.
Okay. If we have that device, there it is. It's the petty scale.
That is amazing.
And the way it works is the most petty is Richard Petty.
Mm-hmm.
And then slightly down from the most petty is Tom Petty.
Because Richard's the king.
Right.
King
Petty. Richard's the king. Then right in the middle is his Richard's son, Kyle. Right?
Yep.
And then actress Lori Petty.
That's who that is.
All right. That's Lori Petty. think Lori would prefer a better description of her. And then the least petty is good old Bryce Petty. Jets fans may remember Bryce Petty back in the day. I think that's the petty ones. Scale. Before we get to the petty scale on this, there's the players who really weren't born at all when the Cleveland-Baltimore thing flipped.
When the Mayflower trucks came in through in the middle of the night?
Well, that's Indianapolis, sir.
Oh, that was Indianapolis. Okay.
Yeah, that was Baltimore losing its team to Indianapolis. And leaving a void in Baltimore that the city filled with Cleveland's franchise, and the league decided to give Cleveland its franchise back. Yada, yada, yada.
You're also a teacher, Rich. Here we are,
30 years later, celebrating. Mm-hmm. In a game that the players just don't like each other at all. It's division rivals. We see that's always nasty. Jerry Jeudy was asked the challenges that he should face as a wide receiver with the Baltimore secondary. Here's his response.
Baltimore secondary, a lot of notable names back there. Just what are the challenges that group presents to you guys as a receiver?
No challenges.
How do you feel about the fact that you're going into Baltimore as 10.5-point underdogs?
You know, that's disrespectful. By the end of the day, you know, they if they think Baltimore could beat us like that, you know, we're gonna have to prove them another thing. You know, we got to do our job and do our best to win the game.
Okay, and one last soundbite to submit about just how petty this game might get on Sunday. Grant Delpit. Let's ask Grant what it's going to take to tackle Derrick Henry. Roll it.
How hard is he to bring down Derrick?
Not hard.
Grant, I mean, going back to that, we saw it last year. You obviously weren't afraid in that first matchup to take him on.
Yeah.
So where does that come from? Is that a mindset?
We're playing football, man. It's tackle football. Somebody got the ball, you got to bring him down.
All right, so somebody brought this to Derrick Henry's attention.
Oh. By the way, not hard to tackle Derrick
Apparently
Henry?
Apparently not.
Derrick Henry?
That guy?
Interesting.
Derrick Henry, your thoughts.
Derrick, did you get a chance to see Grant Delpit? He said that you're not hard to tackle. Do you have a reaction to that?
I mean, I saw that. I saw his coach had a tweet. I mean, a quote. And, you know, he had a quote. We'll see on Sunday.
We'll see on Sunday. Oh,
it'll get handled when it gets handled.
Yeah, right?
It'll get handled
when it gets handled.
When it gets handled.
See,
it'll
get handled when it gets handled.
Oh, the Raiders felt the wrath of that.
Oh, man. Why wouldn't you poke Derrick Henry?
How tough is it to tackle Derrick? Well, okay. Let's take this one at a time. On the petty scale, first item up for bids is the Ravens holding their 30th anniversary celebration of moving to Baltimore from Cleveland with Cleveland in their house. Interestingly enough, with Joe Flacco making his first start for the Ravens in Baltimore since he was a Raven. Okay. Now, before you answer, Mary Kay Cabot asked the Ravens about all this stuff.
Okay.
And she covers the Browns. And they responded saying that planning for the 30th season began last year. They pegged the home opener as the official kickoff of the anniversary celebration. Just so happened, the schedule makers are the ones who put the Browns in their house on the day they had planned to celebrate.
So the league did this.
Yeah. I mean, no, they were making their plans, and then the league decided to, it was just at random.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Sure it was.
Just random.
Uh-huh.
Random.
Cool, 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 cool.
Just want to let you know.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All the information. Now, where does this stand on the petty scale? Is it the biggest petty? Is it the Richard petty? Is it the king of petty?
The Ravens don't make the schedule. And if we are to take them at their word that they were planning this over a year ago before the 2025 schedule was out.
Got to go Tom, right? Tom Petty?
No, I don't think this has anything to do. I'm going bottom. I'm going Bryce.
Bryce Petty. This is Bryce Petty.
Yeah, the Ravens had nothing to do with this.
Okay. David, no fingerprints on it. Would
I'm
you
gonna
agree?
Believe, I'm going to believe them.
RES Consulting's coming up with Bryce Petty.
I'm going to go Lori Petty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because here's you can't take the Petty out of this.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the deal. They knew that they wanted to have a celebration, but somewhere deep into their mind, they probably knew that, you know, we're going to get this year.
I mean, it was a 1 in 9 chance.
Yeah, so I'm put it on.
Okay. So Steve Bisciotti called the league like, hey, give us
not
the,
saying,
give
I, us the I, Browns. I don't think it went that far off the chain of command.
Well, I think we're going to have a Richard Petty if we keep going with this, because someone's going to get the Petty, and that's all right. The end of the league.
Where does Jerry Jeudy's comment that there's no challenges?
Now, that's funny. That's Tom.
That's Tom? That's not Tom. Full Richard King Petty?
Not full, but it's pretty disrespectful.
TJ? See, I don't think that he was being petty, so I'm going to give him Kyle on the petty. Ooh, I don't think
that's right in the middle. Huh? Mm-hmm. No, I'm going with you with Tom.
Yeah, it's pretty petty. I watched the tape.
Okay.
Like, no challenge.
Grant Delpit poking the bear. I don't think there's. I'm going to go Bryce Petty on that. I don't think it's
really?
Petty.
Yeah,
I don't
this
think
isn't
it's petty.
Petty.
I think
that's
it's just petty. Like it's
that's
football.
Just football stuff.
I'm a man. He's a man. We're two men trying to meet at the same.
He knew
point
what he was
attack.
Saying, so I'll go Lori. Okay.
Now, guys, if we had a is so this a smart thing to say skill?
Oh.
Then that would be high.
That would be off the chart. I don't think there's a rating for that.
That wasn't smart.
We're off
petty,
that chart.
I don't think that was petty. I'm with you, Rich.
Lori Petty from Point Blank fame, obviously.
But Ravens versus Browns is Richard Petty, right?
Oh.
Just in general.
No,
all of it together.
In general. Every time they face off,
okay.
Boom,
yeah.
The king.
That matchup was petty by the league.
Okay. Derrick Henry's response?
Oh, no. That's not petty at all. That's just like...
I'm Derrick Henry, and who the hell is this guy?
It is essentially what, you know, you read about somebody walks into a situation, they try to get out of it, and they say, don't you know who I am?
Right.
Which is embarrassing when you're trying to be above the fray. But sure. I think in this case, Derrick Henry reminding everyone of his credentials is valid in his response, to be straight up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.